Matthew chapter 8, we're looking at verses 8 through 12. Correction, 11 through 12, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8, verse 11, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Father, speak to our hearts today. Holy Spirit of God, help me to have the understanding I need and the ability I need to properly preach from this text. May your will be done. And Lord, we thank you that it pleases you that by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning I hope, encourage you to seek the road to heaven. I shall also have to say some very sharp things concerning the end of the lost in the pit of hell. Upon both these subjects, I want to speak as God helps me, and I may not be able to finish the message because of a time factor, but I trust you will give me a hearing. You who love your souls, I beg you to weigh right and wrong and see whether what I say is the truth of God. If what I say is not true, then reject it utterly and cast it away from you. Dismiss it from your mind. If it is true, then at your peril disregard it, for as you shall answer before God, the great judge of all the earth, it will not go well with those who reject the words of God, the words of Scripture. My text has two parts. The first is very pleasant and gives me a lot of pleasure to preach from it. The second is terrible in the extreme. But since they are both the truth, they must both be preached. The first part of my text is this: "I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." The sentence which I call the dark, ominous, threatening part of this text is, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So, for the first part, here is a glorious promise. I like this text because it tells me what heaven is and gives me a beautiful picture of it. It says it's a place where I shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. There is a land where we can rest from our labors, a land fairer than day. There is a city with walls of jasper and gates of pearl, and its light is brighter than the sun. There the weary are at rest, and the wicked are nowhere to be found. It is a sweet thought that there is a land where we shall rest. Soon this voice will never be strained again. Soon this brain shall not be racked for trying to think. Soon I shall lay my burden down and be at home with Jesus. Soon I shall be embraced by my Master, by my Savior, by my Lord, and I will hear His words of welcome. Words like toil and trouble and travail and labor are words that will not be used in heaven. Whatever it is that we will be involved in, it will be nothing that will cause weariness or pain or discomfort or tears. We've seen plenty of those, haven't we? Oh, this past week, so often we've gone by the deathbed. We've gone by hospice. We've had to say goodbye to loved ones and friends. On Thursday, we were about to see Miss Peggy Harrelson, and I knew it just couldn't be long. And I went to hospice to see her there, and she had shingles that had crept out of her forehead all the way down her face into her eye. And she was just a picture of misery and suffering as she lay there in that bed. And so as I leaned over her and took her hand and prayed, I prayed that the Lord would soon release her. From that body of suffering. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if I would pray that. There'll come a time when you'll pray that. There'll come a time when you'll be willing for your loved one to leave just to be able to vacate that body of suffering and pain and go home. To be at rest with Jesus. That time will come. But I prayed over Miss Peggy and I told her, I said, Peggy, I said, the Lord has a place prepared for you. The Bible tells me at the right hand of the Father, there's fullness of joy. In His presence, there's pleasures forevermore. With Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and Rebecca and Ruth and Elizabeth and Mary and Martha and Eunice and so many you can name. And I pray that God would take Miss Peggy and soon give her an entrance, a wonderful, a bountiful entrance into that kingdom of heaven where she would be at rest. I finished my prayer and turned and walked out of that room and went to my car. The family didn't call me, but they told me later. I said, Pastor, you prayed your prayer. And I turned to my daughter and I said something to her. And then I looked back at Peggy, my mom. And she said she wasn't breathing. Just that quick. The Lord came and took her home. I doubt that I was even in my car. And she was on her way to heaven. But you'll notice the good company with whom they sit. They are to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Now, those who despise the Jewish people won't be there. Amen. Some people think that in heaven we shall know nobody. But our text here declares that we shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And I'm sure that we shall be aware that they are Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. There was a good woman who asked her husband when she was dying, my dear, do you think that you'll know me when you and I get to heaven? Shall I know you? He said, well, I've always known you here. You don't think I'll be a bigger fool in heaven than I am here, do you? And so I think that was a very good answer, but I think we will know even more when we get to heaven than we have known here. I have never met Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but I believe that I will know them when I see them in heaven. We talk sometimes about a sixth sense, don't we? Something that you just know inwardly. I wonder if somehow, inwardly, we will just know who the people are whom we shall meet in heaven. Now, I don't think we'll be limited in knowledge as we are here. Here we say, I go around and meet people, my name is Arnold Griffin, I'm the pastor, and what's your name? And we introduce one another. And but I think I'm going to have a better knowledge when I get to heaven than I have now. And certainly if we've known one another here, I think we'll know one another there. I have dear departed friends up there. And it's always a sweet thought to me that when I shall put my foot by God's grace upon the threshold of heaven, there will come my brothers and my sisters in Christ, my mom, my dad, others who died in the Lord, and they're going to come and they're going to embrace me and welcome me into that celestial city. I have a mother and a dad. I have some sweet relatives that I hope to see again. You have relatives from whom you have been separated. You will meet them in heaven if they're Christians. Amen. Miss June, you're going to see Pete again. Amen. Amen. If you follow the steps of Jesus, like your loved one did, who departed to go to heaven, then you're going to meet them there. We shall recognize our Lord. We shall recognize our friends, our family members. Mothers, you will know those dear babies of yours. Husband, you will meet that dear wife again. Brother Arnold Ray Potter told me a couple weeks ago, and he's still very, very weak in the nursing home. I asked him about going home to be with the Lord, and he's a dear, sweet Christian man. He said, Pastor said, yes, I'm longing to see the Lord. And then he said, I'm longing to see Sarah again. He lost Sarah a few years ago to cancer. And of course his life has been lonely since. But our loved ones, you know how you hung over their graves and wept as the cold sod was sprinkled over them, and it was said earth to earth and dust to dust and ashes to ashes. But you're going to hear those beloved voices again. You're going to hear those sweet voices once more. You shall know that those whom you have loved have been loved also by God. And you will meet again and know them as they are known. Wouldn't it be a dreary heaven for us to inhabit it where we would be unknowing and unknown? I believe that heaven is a fellowship of saints and that we shall know one another there. I've often thought I'd love to see Moses and Elijah. In Matthew 17... Jesus took Peter and James and John up on the mount, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And suddenly there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with Jesus. And then a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of that cloud that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." When the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were so afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Well, there was Moses. He had died about 1400 B.C. We're told about his death way back in the book of Deuteronomy. And there was Elijah. He was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind about 852 B.C. Jesus is talking about Abraham. Well, Abraham is estimated died about 1986 and had 175 years old. How would you like to be that old? 175. But he was buried there beside Sarah in the cave at Machpelah. And yet Jesus told about him embracing Lazarus over in Luke 16. And there he was when Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That meant he was in fellowship with Abraham and embraced by Abraham. And there he was involved in that conversation that went on between that beggar who died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom and the rich man who died and lifted up his eyes in hell being in torments. Wanting to come where Lazarus was, but not able to. I've never met Abraham. I've never met Isaac. I've never met Jacob. But I believe I'll see him in heaven. I believe I will. Abraham, in the Jewish mind, is always pictured as standing at the gate of paradise to receive and embrace the faithful. Oh yes, we shall have some distinguished company when we get to heaven. We shall walk freely among the redeemed of all the ages, and we shall feel that we are all brothers and sisters. We shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Is this not an amazing thought? They will not set a separate table for them and another for us. The Jew and the Gentile will sit down together. The great and the small shall feed in the same pasture, and we shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But my text has a yet greater sweetness, for it says, many shall come and shall sit down. John 14:2, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. God says that there will be a number that no man can number who will be saved. Revelation 7:9. Now that's good tidings for you and for me. Amen? Sometimes we think it's a very small crowd here, and it does seem small in comparison to those that are lost. But if there are so many to be saved that they are without number, and John saw them, why should not I be saved? Why should not you be saved? Why should not everyone in this auditorium be a part of that multitude? And may not, I don't care who you are, since there is such a vast number that are going to be saved, why should not you also be saved? I can never know that any man is past God's grace. Jesus spoke about the fact that there are some who have sinned, that sin unto death, and God gives them up. But the vast host of mankind are within the reach of divine grace. Whosoever will, let him come and partake of the water of life freely. Many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. The Jews thought no one would be in heaven who was not a Jew. The Pharisees thought if they were not all Pharisees, they couldn't be saved. But Jesus Christ said there will be many that will come from the east and from the west. Many from the east, that applied to people living east of Palestine, and from the west, those people west of Palestine. From the uttermost part of the earth, there shall come many to sit down in the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that good? Amen. You got your place reserved? Have you? You got that BA degree? That born again degree? You're going to need that. Amen. Amen. Listen. Revelation 5:9 says, they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. All nations of the earth are going to be represented there. Amen? All the saved from all the kingdoms of the earth shall be there. There may be a class of people who are looked upon as hopeless this morning. Their own family may think, well, he cannot be saved. She's too wicked. He's too abandoned. What's he good for? Ask him to go to a place of worship. Well, he was drunk last night. What would be the use of reasoning with him? There's no hope for him. He's hardened in his sin. See what he's done. What good will it do to even speak to him? Would you hear what Jesus said? He said, many shall come from the east and from the west. There will be many in heaven who were drunkards once. I believe among the blood-bought throng, there are many who reeled in and out of the bar rooms, the dance halls, half their lifetime. But by the power of divine grace, they were able to dash that liquor bottle to the ground. They renounced the demon of intoxication and fled from it to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They received the Lord of glory and they turned from sin to the Savior. Amen? Amen. Yes, there will be many in heaven who were once drunkards on the earth. There will be many who once were harlots who will be seated there. There will be some in heaven who were the devil's castaways. Some that the devil would hardly think good enough for him, and yet Christ would have them saved. I'll tell you, Christ will take in the devil's castaways if you'll come to him. Amen? Do you feel like you're the lowest of the low? Come to Jesus. Some want to be members of a gang in this city, to live a life of crime and a life of pain and misery and early death and disappointment for their families. Who needs the gospel more than they do? Who will preach to them in these degenerate days? But don't underestimate the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where would you have been? Where would you have been had it not been for grace? Amen. God saves the devil's castaways. Yes, that poor, benighted, almost idiotic human being, and yet God can save that man. God can take you from the mire and put you in the choir. God's able to do that. There are none except those who have committed the unpardonable sin who are beyond God's mercy and God's grace. Bring out the worst. I'll preach the gospel to them. Bring out the vilest. I'll preach to them. My master said, go you out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. It pleased the Lord by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Look at that little word, shall. I love God's shalls and wills. Amen. A man may say, well, I shall or I will do something, and he may break his promise. But it's never so with God's shalls. If he said shall, it shall be. When he says will, it will be. Now God says here, many shall come. They're going to be there. What did he say in Hebrews 7:25? Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. They shall be there. Amen. They shall be there. If you came here lost today, it's possible for you to be saved today. You may go out of here a new man, a changed man. You came in a sinner. You can leave a saint. You may have come in here shamelessly immoral, feeling worthless and reprehensible and having wasted your life. But now you feel sorry for those sins and offenses against God. And with tears, you repent of those sins and own Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If Jesus were to stand here on this platform this morning, He would say, "Whosoever will, let him come. You shall be saved if you'll turn from those sins to the Savior and receive Him." Oh, what would people do with Christ if He did come here today? What would they do? Well, I believe some would own Him as their King. I believe many of you would rush up here and fall at His feet and give Him glory and praise. Many would own Him as their Master, their Lord, their God. But you know what? I wonder if there might be others who would crucify Him again if they could. You know, there are some people who despise the church. They despise Christ. They despise the preacher, and they despise anybody connected to Jesus Christ. But others shall come. They shall come. Jesus Christ did not die for nothing. If some of you reject Him, there are others of you who will not reject Him. If there are some that are not saved, others shall be saved and saved to the uttermost. Christ shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hands. Many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. They shall come, and nothing in heaven, nothing in earth, and nothing in hell can stop them from coming and sitting down at the table with their blessed Lord. Saved to the uttermost, those who come unto the Father by Jesus Christ. Now, to those who've never received Him as Lord and Savior, listen. You are here today and you think you're the worst soul who ever lived. You're saying, "I don't deserve to be saved. I'm not worthy to sit down at His table. I'm a miserable wretch and I don't deserve His mercy." Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to ask Him to save you? In Luke 18:13, the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Are you willing to humble yourself and ask for His mercy? Romans 10:13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." In Galatians 3:29, "If ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Jesus said, "Many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Amen. Amen. That's not the end of what Christ said. The second verse had to do with outer darkness. And that's the part of my text that's heartbreaking. I take no joy in telling you this, but as I've told you often, what's written in the Bible must be preached, whether it's gloomy or cheerful. There are some ministers who never mention anything about hell. Did you hear the preacher who said to his congregation, if you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be sent to that place where it is not polite to mention. He ought not to have been allowed to preach at all if he was unwilling to give the clear warning of the Lord. If I saw your house on fire, do you think I would say, well, I believe the operation of combustion is going on over there? No, I'd call out to the top of my lungs, fire, fire! And then everybody would know what I meant. If the Bible says the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Am I to stand here and mince my words? God forbid. We must speak the truth as it's written. It's a terrible truth, for it says the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. Now quickly, who are these children and what kingdom? I'll tell you. Jesus is speaking of the kingdom of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were patriarchs of great faith. But where was that great faith now among their children? Why, a Roman centurion, a Gentile, had just demonstrated more faith in Jesus than the children of the kingdom of Israel. Romans 9:6, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Luke 13:28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. You see, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. A lot of people today are religious but lost. Their hearts have never been changed. They've never become new creatures in Christ. They have no grace. They have no life. They have no Christ. And they shall be cast into outer darkness. Jesus said in Matthew 15:9, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's the track America is on today. Would to God we'd see a mighty awakening and a great revival sweep our country, and people turning back to God and the commandments of God. Here they are, children of the great patriarch. I wonder how many are here today who are children of godly fathers and mothers. Nothing touches a man's heart like talking about his mother. I read of a man going into a place of worship, was acting up. No one could keep him still or quiet. And finally, an elderly, gray-headed man went up to him and said, sir, you had a mother once. Obviously a man who knew his mother and knew him. And with that, the tears ran down his cheeks. And he said, bless you, sir, I did. And I brought her gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. And a pretty sight I am to be here in this shape. And he then sat down and sobered and subdued by the very mention of his mother. Ah, there are some of you, children of the kingdom, who can remember your mothers. Your mother who took you on her knee and taught you early how to pray. Many of you had a father who tutored and mentored you in the way of godliness. And yet, you're here today without grace in your heart, without the hope of heaven, and you're still lost. You're going downward towards hell as fast as your feet can carry you, lost and without God. There are some of you who have broken your poor mother's heart. Oh, if I could tell you what she suffered for you when you've been out indulging in your sin. Do you know what your guilt will be, children of the kingdom, if you perish after a loving mother's prayers and tears have fallen on you? I can conceive of no one entering hell with greater guilt than the man who goes there with drops of a mother's tears on his head, and with his father's prayers following him at his heels. Oh, I wonder if some of you will wake up one day and find yourselves in outer darkness while your parents will be up there seated beside Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Matthew 23:37, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. As gracious and loving as our Savior is, He will force Himself on no one. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Let us pray. Father, speak to hearts now if there's one here that's lost and without hope and without God, if they die in the shape they're in. I pray today they'll come. And like that publican many years ago, humbly, unworthily, just saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Lord, I believe you'll hear that prayer. If there's one here today who will answer the door as, Lord Jesus, you knock at their heart's door. You said if any man would open the door, you'd come in and would sup with them and them with you. Father, I pray that some will open the door this morning, that you will enter and bring salvation to that soul. Oh God, Spirit of God, move. Save that soul that's nearest hell today. Oh God, speak to hearts and call precious boys and girls, men and women, into your family. Make them today, by faith in Jesus Christ, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In Jesus